McGregor vs. Poirier 3 is all set for UFC 264. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. It's the McGregor versus Poirier rubber match. Get in on the action now. Download the DraftKings app and use promo code TBPN for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code TBPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Welcome to SpursCast, episode 619. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs founder Michael DeLeon. In this episode, Mike and I will discuss Keldon Johnson joining Team USA for their exhibition games, a trade rumor, and analyze some of the projected returning starters for the Spurs. Let's go ahead and get started. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's summer, so I feel good about that. Got vacation coming up pretty soon, so I'm pretty excited. Hopefully, the rain will stop, though.
Nice. Yeah. And for me, you know, it's been nice, you know, just to be off as well, if, you know, summer break here. But, you know, as far as following Team USA and just the international, I really wasn't going to watch too much of it. But now that Keldon Johnson's been promoted to the Team USA for their exhibition games, it looks like I have something on my schedule this coming week to keep an eye on those games to monitor how Keldon does with Team USA. So let's first begin there, Mike, with the latest news. So on Friday, it was announced that Keldon Johnson will be promoted along with Darius Garland from the Cavs and Sadiq Bey from the Pistons, the three of them who are on the select team. They're going to be promoted to Team USA for the exhibition games, and the reason for that is because some of the Team USA players who are currently in the NBA Finals, that's Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton. So again, they're not on Team USA for the Olympics, but right now they're just going to be there with them for their exhibition games that they have this coming week, because they have five of them coming up. So Team USA does play Saturday versus Nigeria, then Monday versus Australia, Tuesday versus Argentina, Friday again versus Australia, and then Sunday versus Spain. So, Mike, what do you think about this news that Keldon, you know, at least is going to get a chance here with Team USA to play in some of these exhibition games?
Yeah, that definitely changes things for me, at least, you know, what I'll be looking for and hoping to see. Now, I wasn't as interested in it as I am now, and but now I can just see Keldon, and obviously he's kind of made a name for himself. He stood out because there's actually some pretty talented players on that select team. I mean, aside from the ones that, you know, that we talked about, I mean, Miles Bridges is there as well, Tyler Hero. I mean, there's a lot of very talented players that are on that team, and they could have named, you know, any number. But for him to be along that list of players is saying something for sure. So I'll be interested to see kind of where he's at now compared to, like, where he left off at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. And for me, it's kind of like a copycat answer of last week, what I said, you know, when they first announced that he was at least going to be on the select team. It's just that, you know, I really want to see what position, you know, Coach Pop uses him now that he's going to be on this team. Now, again, I don't think that he's going to get a lot of playing time unless it's like, you know, fourth quarter and Team USA has a pretty good lead on a team. Or if maybe since, you know, some of these are back to backs, maybe, you know, they do rest some of their main players on Team USA. So I really feel like the minutes are going to go first to the guys that are on the national team already. And then, you know, if there's a big comfortable margin of a lead, then I think Coach Pop will put in Keldon and some of these younger players. And so, yeah, like I said, if Keldon does get minutes and when he does, I do want to see where does Coach Pop place him. Does he put him at the four like he does with the Spurs? Or, you know, does he put him like at a two or a three? Because, you know, on that team, you know, his 6'6 height, you know, is going to be a little bit different with the different teammates he has compared to San Antonio. So that's kind of what I'm interested to see is what he does when he's out on the court and what positions Coach Pop puts him in with different teammates now that he's not, you know, on the Spurs for this coming week. Instead, he's going to be playing with Team USA. So yeah, that's really interesting for Kelden and a good opportunity for his development, you know, as he's only going to be entering his third year here in the NBA. All right, Mike, our other news, it's more so a rumor. There's a Derek White and DeJounte Murray trade rumor going around. Per Zach Harper of The Athletic in his latest mock draft, you know, he wrote about each team. And he basically talked about first, you know, who they should take in their draft in terms of the mock. And then he asked, he had a question was, you know, is there going to be a trade possible? And then for the Spurs, he added this, and I'll read fully what he wrote. He said, "While it seems unlikely the Spurs would move their pick, keep an eye on them being active with the trade machine around the draft. The Spurs have to figure out where they want to be as a franchise and what their plan is moving forward. They're kind of stuck in the middle right now. Murray and Derek White could both be gettable, according to league sources." So then on Friday, you know, when this came out, it was a lot of, you know, just a lot of articles, you know, aggregation where it was just saying gettable, Derek White, DeJounte Murray gettable. I even saw DeJounte trending, not on the full, you know, top United States trending Twitter, but I did see his name trending in the NBA section of Twitter. So, you know, this is obviously getting a lot of people riled up with the comments and things like that. So, and it's kind of cool to see that a lot of other fan bases do want these players. I saw DeJounte, as Murray mentioned, by a lot of teams, you know, Lakers fans and different other teams that were like, oh, if DeJounte's available, they should try to go get him. So what are your thoughts on this rumor that came out?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's something I normally would dismiss, but I know Zach pretty well, and I know that he's pretty serious about making sure that his sources are pretty reliable. And so it's interesting. The only thing is, you know, they just extended both of these players, mm-hmm. So you would think, you know, that's the decision they made on the future. So, you know, it's interesting. It's one that we've talked about a lot, like on Twitter this weekend. I just think it would be. Some of the things that have been, like, proposed have been a little crazy, like for different picks and things like that. I'm just like, I don't think you get enough value back in a pick if you trade. For one, DeJounte is because he's become a leader. And, you know, aside from replacing what he does on the floor, but replacing that part of it, now that the future is kind of uncertain, we don't know what's going to happen with DeRozan. Obviously, Aldridge isn't around anymore, so you kind of need a leader, and so that'd be hard. And then, you know, Derek White just didn't get a chance to show a lot this year because of all of his, injuries and with everything else going on. But obviously, they see enough in him to, you know, to commit to him long term. So, yeah. But then at the other side, to me, is thinking they have so many guards, and it's like you kind of wonder if they're gonna have to make a hard decision about some of these guys at some point in the future. So, I mean, it's just interesting. I don't think it'll happen unless they are able to move to a spot that's kind of like fail-safe at this point. Mm-hmm. They'd have to bring in somebody that is really, you expect to make an immediate impact, and I don't know if they'd be that kind of package would be available right now.
Yeah, and so my thoughts is kind of goes back to last week too when I talked to Colleen, and we had a question about, you know, who's untradeable, who's untradeable and who's very tradable right now. And me and Colleen were basically like, you know, this almost like it feels like the entire roster, you know, if the right package came along for a certain player or maybe a pick, you know, they can move any of these players because again, there's no, you know, actual all-star right now on this team where, you know, even the young players, you know, they're all developing players, and we don't know for sure that we can't say within 2 years this player is going to be an all-star. You know, there's just, we don't see that trajectory right now from all these players on the roster. So yeah, I just feel like that kind of makes sense. And then what you said there with the contracts, you know, they're both very team friendly, not team friendly, but you know, the contracts are very good to be tradable. You know, it was like what, 14-15 million in that range for both these players. So yeah, it's definitely there. And then you see the value that a lot of, you know, like I said earlier, you know, a lot of fan bases would like those players on their team. So we do see that, you know, the Spurs getting mentioned here, and you're right, you know, they have to figure out kind of what Zach wrote there was like, you know, what are they're almost like stuck here where like they're going to, yes, they can see where these players, you know, develop into, but again, there's no, like right now, there's no path where it looks like these players are headed to like an all NBA level where you can like build your franchise around a player. So that's why, like, it was very interesting that last week, Colin and I discussed, you know, Ben Simmons in a trade scenario, just because Ben's already like that made all-star for you, and then you can start building around him. So yeah, it's just interesting to see. And I think that, yeah, this, because of where we don't know exactly where this franchise is going, you know, this coming off season, you know, we could see multiple players' names be mentioned, you know, in different trade rumors and things like that. So yeah, it wasn't too surprising to see that. And like I said, I think almost everyone is probably, you know, able to, if the right deal came along, I think the Spurs could look at making a trade for any of these players, just because there's no like actual, you know, all-star currently on the roster.
All right,
so now mark our arm. You know, our last topic here, it's not really a topic. It's more so we're just going to do a little discussion here. As Spurscast listeners know, you know, we've been mentioning this this new site we've been working with called ProfitX. You know, especially that they're really good about providing salary projections for players' contracts. So that's what we've been discussing the last 2 or 3 weeks here on Project Spurs. And so we're gonna do today is we're going to you know, just take a look at their different AI models and see, you know, some different things that their site features. And then what I really want to do is focus on the starters for the Spurs, the players that played last year that are returning for sure, we think, as long as the trade doesn't happen here. So those players we're going to focus on in our discussion today, Spurscast listeners, are DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Keldon Johnson, and Jakob Poeltl. And again, I didn't include DeRozan because he is a free agent. We don't know if he's returning to the team. I also didn't include Lonnie Walker IV because I know that he was a starter for a little bit of part of last season. But again, when the team was fully healthy, it was Derek White who was a starter at the two there. So before we begin this discussion, you know, we do want to say that ProfitX is a dynamic financial and performance index powered by artificial intelligence with front office optics displaying 17 visual and time series models for 480 plus NBA athletes. The Athletics models historical, dynamic, and future performance data to monitor and project insights on contracts, performance, injuries, team fit, development, and potential. You can follow them on Twitter at ProfitXAI and also on Instagram. So let's begin, Mike, with some of these different projections that ProfitX features. So let's begin with DeJounte Murray. So according to their you know, their models, they do say that, you know, some of his best combinations on the court are playing alongside Keldon Johnson, Jakob Poeltl, and Luka Šamanić. You know, according to their model, he did play like a starter this past season with the production he brought to the Spurs, and he also projects to be an impact starter in the next two seasons. They do see all three of his skills, you know, improving this coming season. His offense, his defense, and his playmaking are all projected to improve in the next two seasons. His top areas of growth this past season, according to their model, were in the mid-range. Of course, we saw that very evidently. Defensive rebounding, he got even better. Working in isolation, his pick and drive and his drives to the basket. The projected areas of improvement they see for him are the pull-up three next season, the right corner three, fast break scoring, the catch and shoot three, the fast break scoring. I already mentioned that. And then the pick and drive in the mid-range, he could actually get better on those two areas as well. And they have a cool thing where basically they look at an athlete's skill set, and they say, you know, where else, if that player wasn't with their current team, where else, what are the next five teams that would best suit that athlete in terms of adding them to their team, those teams. And these are the top five teams that would fit with DeJounte if he wasn't with the Spurs: the Toronto Raptors, the Trailblazers, the Bucks, the Thunder, and the Rockets. So I know that's a lot of information, Mike. Take whatever you want from that information.
No, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I the one thing that kind of threw me was the Murray Šamanić combo, just because I guess I didn't take enough note of that and then see how they play together. The Keldon one for sure makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's about to get to, you know, I felt like he was almost there, and his last season was about him getting back after the injury and mm-hmm. you know, that time and getting back to where he had been, I guess. And now I think this season is kind of like one of those seasons where we might be able to see a little bit more if he's able to get that 3-point shot and hit that with some regularity. I think that's changes a lot for him, because then that makes him kind of a dual threat where he can, you know, drive, where he can pull up and shoot that three, kind of what we see out of like Chris Paul sometimes, a lot, especially in the finals. And you know, that would be really cool to see from him. Fast break scoring as well. I mean, if he can, it's really going to be like decision making, and he seems to have done a pretty good job of that. And those are just areas that I think are kind of natural improvement areas for him, especially in the position he plays. The whole team fit thing is really interesting to me, because, I mean, I can totally see Raptors and the style they play. Bucks having another long, limbed defender that can also get some offense and move the ball around totally makes sense to me. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting, and it's another player I'm really looking forward to seeing. You know, that it seems like this next year is going to be kind of like the next step for him. We're going to see exactly what kind of player he can become.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, one interesting thing there is, like, you know, it, again, it says that he played like a starter of the production he brought this past year. He did that. But then the next two seasons, they see him more so as an impact starter. So I think that's interesting because, again, when we go back to that rumor about the trade, well, then again, like, I kind of like what I was saying was, like, you know, we don't know exactly if there's a current Spurs player who's projected to be an all-star out of the group that they have right now. And so, again, if you see that and you see in two years, you know, he's just going to be an impact starter again, you know, maybe, again, you might want to look if you're the organization at moving if that's the case. And just kind of what you just said there, you know, is I saw a lot of those growth areas as well this past year. And then, of course, we know that, you know, a big thing that they focus on in terms of his development is going to be that three-point shot. And so that's what we see, the pull-up three, the catch-shoot three, and then also, you know, getting out on the break and things like that. So, yeah, those are very interesting. And again, just to see those team fits, you know, who knows if, you know, we see more trade rumors, maybe some of those teams get involved knowing that, you know, that they fit DeJounte's skill set best. All right, let's move on to our next player here, and this is Derek White. One thing I want to say, though, there's another model thing that they have called the system versus star player model. And so what it does is basically if they code you as a system player, it means that your reliance on you rely on the team style of play to get a lot of your production. Whereas a star player, that means that the team adapts to your skill set is what they define it as. And so whenever you look, like, let's just say you look at DeMar DeRozan, we see more so they code him as a star player because, you know, a lot of the team adapts to his skill set. And, you know, and for the rest of the Spurs players we're going to talk about, they often that system, you know, kind of projection. But what's interesting is Derek White, you know, who we're moving on to next, actually showed flashes. When you look at his data for this past season, aside from DeMar DeRozan, he was the only other Spur who it didn't just say system, you know, type of player. It actually said, so he shows flashes of playing like a star player, where basically the Spurs team in certain games, their team adapted to his skill set. And so his best combinations, you know, I'm not going to mention it does say Trey Lyles, but we didn't see him play too much this past season. He's probably going to be gone from the team. But, you know, he fits well against alongside Jakob Poeltl, and also Samanich comes out on playing well against Derek White as well. They basically say that last season, even though he was hurt, Derek played like an impact starter already this past season, and he is projected to play like a starter in the next 2 years. They see him making improvement in his playmaking and defense, are projected to grow the most this coming season. His top areas of growth this past season where he really improved were in the pick and drive, the pick and roll, the right three-pointer, the drive to the basket, isolation, and center three-pointer. The areas where they see him improving even more next season are steals, the center three-point line, pick and roll, pull-up three-pointers, putbacks, fast break scoring, and drive to the basket. And if Derek wasn't with the Spurs, they see, and again, this is interesting because his name was in trade rumors, they see that the top five fits for him in terms of adding his skill set would be the Boston Celtics, the Chicago Bulls, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Kings, and the Suns. So again, that's a lot of information there. Take whatever you want from that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes the point where it's just a shame that he didn't get to play a full season, because he did play, like, so much better. I mean, he made a leap in, year four for him. And, I mean, his mm-hmm. points were up. I mean, he averaged a block per game. So for, like, a point guard or just, you know, any kind of guard, a block a game is a pretty good number right there. And so I just think that it's one of those things. Next year, I think we're going to get to see a lot more of him. And, I mean, I think we started to see the defense grow a little bit. Last year, a lot of people think he is the Spurs' best defender already. And so if that continues to improve, you know, for him to become kind of a lockdown type of guy on the perimeter would be big, especially for the Spurs who have had trouble on the perimeter and stopping the three-point shot and things like that. So, it's another one where this year was kind of get to show, or he didn't get to really show enough, but if you actually take a deeper dive into when he did play, which is, I think, like 37 games, everything looked good.
Yeah, and so I think what you just mentioned there at the beginning was the biggest, you know, hindrance is just, you know, when one thing that Profit X also does is they look at injuries, and so almost every Spurs player looks like, you know, they don't have any injury issues, but Derek is one of the only players who has the concerning part because of all the foot injuries he's had over the last few years. And so I think that's the biggest hindrance for him, is that if he doesn't make this growth, it's because, again, he's dealing with injuries, and so that's something to watch, is hopefully that he has a good, healthy season so he can actually, you know, continue out there on the court, because he continues to have different lower leg injuries these last few years. So hopefully, you know, Derek can can really improve there in that area. And so, yeah, I agree with you too. You know, on a lot of things you said there, and in the areas that he made development and growth. And again, just seeing him, it would be good to see, you know, what he does for an entire full season, especially even if DeMar DeRozan leaves, to see him become even more of a playmaker and see where his skill set improves even more in that area of the floor. All right, the next starter let's move on to is Keldon Johnson. You know, they have as his best teammate combinations last season were Keldon and Rudy Gay, Keldon and DeJounte Murray, and then Keldon and Derek White, which are, you know, two players that are also starters with him. This past season, he did play like a starter according to the production he brought according to their model, and he also projects to be a starter in the next two seasons. So they do see him being a starter on the next 2 years. He's projected to improve on offense, defense, and playmaking in the next 2 years. His biggest areas of growth this past season, according to their model, were defensive rebounding, driving to the basket, fast break scoring, offensive rebounding, putbacks, pick and roll, and mid-range. His areas of improvement is coming off in the next 2 years are in defensive rebounding, fast break scoring, drive to the basket, offensive rebounding, putbacks, and pick and roll. And if he wasn't with the Spurs, the best teams they think would fit his skill set would be the Denver Nuggets, the Clippers, the Cavaliers, the Suns, and the 76ers. What do you want to say about Keldon?
I just think it's interesting where they you know, they talked about so much, like, you know, that, you know, the top growth areas, I mean, it just lists so many things, but then where they see projected improvement, they see his, I mean, to me, that tells me a lot about his potential, where they see so much mm-hmm. more growth there, and it seems like he's, I mean, you could call this year kind of a breakout year, but, I mean, it's not like he was playing behind so many players, and he was, not like a first, second, or probably even third option. So for him to go and get what he got was pretty big. And so I think it just shows, you know, how much growth is still there for him, and he's still, you know, very young. So I think that's the player right now that Spurs fans are probably most excited about.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I didn't see it right there in the projected improvement areas. Of course, the shooting is going to be an issue because, you know, that's one of the areas where defenses really kind of figured him out a lot of times, where they would kind of back off of him and leave him open for those wide open threes if he didn't have the ball in his hands. And so, you know, I'm interested to see if maybe the Spurs give him, again, more opportunity to be on the ball and kind of try to create for himself or others rather than just keeping him out there on the three-point line in the event that he doesn't have the ball in his hands. So I think that's where a lot of their model comes from, is maybe they see an improved, you know, just more so ball handling and his arsenal coming forward in this next season. All right, the last player we want to discuss is, you know, last starter who's expected to return is Jakob Poeltl. And again, some of these combinations are a little bit different because the players, you know, didn't get a lot of minutes. So the best team fits for him were Poeltl and Gorgui Dieng, according to their model, Poeltl and Rudy Gay, and then Poeltl and Derek White. You know, he played, according to their model, he did play like a starter this past season with the production. However, because he is getting older, I think he's going to be 26 coming into this next year, they do project his production to go down. So again, this is just a model. This doesn't mean it's going to happen. But they do see, because of his age, and because, you know, he doesn't have a lot of areas to really grow in terms of his, like, offensive skill set, I would say. He actually projects to be more like a bench player, according to their data and their model, in the next 2 years. So that'll be something interesting to watch. His top growth areas he made this past season were in offensive rebounding, blocks, putbacks, defensive rebounds, steals, fast break scoring in the mid-range with those long jump hooks that he takes. His projected improvement areas, you know, in the event that he were to add any three-point shot, that would obviously make a remarkable improvement for him. Steals, isolation scoring, fast break scoring, and offensive rebounding. If Poeltl wasn't with the Spurs, his next best five teams that would fit his skill set would be the Miami Heat, the Rockets, the Magic, the Cavaliers, and the Hawks. So what do you want to say about Poeltl?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that he's going to be entering his, like, sixth season. But mm-hmm. if you look at it, I mean, he averaged career highs in points, rebounds, mm-hmm. blocks, assists, just about everything he was, you know, it was a career year for him. But, again, age plays a factor for sure. And it's like you said, you don't know how much, you know, what his ceiling is at this point. You know, I'm not sure. I don't see him becoming a three-point shooter or so.
Yeah, me too.
I don't mm-hmm. see that as part of his game. He just doesn't seem comfortable out there. So he'll be one to watch for sure because, I mean, he was another player, again, that they just recently I think they just extended him last year, right?
Yeah, this past offseason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so that'll be interesting, especially because a lot of the players that have been rumored have been kind of like four or five type players that the Spurs could target.
Yeah, for sure. So again, you know, it was just, again, those are just models. They're not, it doesn't mean that the players are all going to do these things in these next years, whether, you know, they could actually, they could go beyond these models and end up being, you know, maybe making that big leap forward for them, or they could even, you know, not play as well. And so maybe they don't even hit those marks. So again, these are just models. It's something we just want to discuss, you know, looking at some of the different features that ProfitX provides if you do sign up for an account with them. And again, it is the off season. There's not a lot going on with the Spurs right now. So aside from those two things that we discussed at the beginning of the episode. So don't forget to visit ProjectSpurs.com. You know, the draft is coming up here on July 29th, and Benjamin Bornstein is getting you prepared. So he continues to provide these, write up these prospect watches. And his latest one was on Kessler Edwards by Ben Bornstein. I've also been doing weekly free agent pieces of the upcoming Spurs free agents. So the first one I did was 2 weeks ago on DeMar DeRozan. This last one, this current week, was on Rudy Gay. And they just tell you basically how the player played this past season. And then they also give some contract projections and whether or not the Spurs should bring that player back. And then also, I've continued to update our 2021 draft prospects board. And again, on there, you can see exactly, you know, where draft picks are projected to go. And I highlight exactly if they're going to end up at 12th or 41st, which are the two picks for the Spurs. If they're projected to end up there on different mock drafts. I also have some different stats that I've added to the board. And one of the cool ones that I looked at was I looked at, you know, what last year out of last year's free agent class, a rookie class that came in, you know, how well did they shoot from their college or international three compared to how they ended up in the NBA? And I saw that it was about a 1-5% drop, basically. So that's basically what I make a projection on their shooting from currently with their college team or international team, and then see exactly where it projects to end up at the NBA level. And then we also have you know, any players that either interviewed with the Spurs or worked out for the Spurs pre-draft. We're making sure to note that on that draft prospect board, so make sure you check that out if you get a chance. All right, thanks again to Mike for joining me here on the Spurs Cast and for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.